I think for the sake of time, we're 4 minutes in. Why don't we get things rolling, Cosmo? Huh?
All righty. Yeah, so excited to be here for the monthly inter-protocol space. And we have some good guests. We got Roland, Dean, Yusuf. Who else do we have here today? Rick and Bob and Fred. Or do we have everyone? Let me see here. Yeah, I believe that's who we have. So... yeah, so what's going on? Like, how's the progress going? It's nice to catch up. I think what last time we spoke was around this time last month. So it was, you know, see how everything's going. How are you guys doing today?
Well, I'll jump in. I'm doing awesome. Partly, so thank you for having me here. One of the most exciting things to me about Interprotocol, we had a lot to do with sort of getting it off the ground, but you know, that ball is rolling. So just seeing what the community is doing, seeing what the econ committee is doing, you know, from I won't say outside, but from next door is just fabulous. So I'll throw Roland under the bus to talk about the IST liquidations. And so but let's dive in.
Yeah, sure. As Dean is kind of pre-playing here, you know, as lots of people on the call might be aware, the Atom prices had a little bit of trouble over the last few weeks. And while that's bad for Atom holders, it's very interesting for Interprotocol because it triggered our first liquidations. And so, you know, until we see the liquidation mechanism in action in production, you know, it's hard to really feel comfortable. But not only did we see those liquidations run smoothly and sell at sort of roughly a 10 to 12% discount on Atom, the bids got picked up by arbitrary outsiders, and so, you know, not fully sure who ended up winning those liquidation auctions, but you know, it certainly wasn't my bids, and it wasn't bids of anyone that we knew, and so that's always a good sign, right? It means that there is an active market. Those vaults were small, and so you know, anyone that's looking at the Interprotocol dashboard, we have a few larger vaults that at various times were at risk of liquidation, but those vault holders went in and actively managed them to avoid it, which again is a really important sign. People are managing their positions to avoid liquidation, which is really what the protocol wants. But those auctions ran very smoothly. And so all that is to say, you know, that was really exciting to see. And I think, you know, not speaking for the econ committee, but I know that several of them were waiting to see that before sort of taking other actions. And so that's, you know, that's a big milestone for the protocol. You know, I think we'll still look for, there's going to be a day where Atom is down 20 or 30%, right? It just, in crypto, that's going to happen. And so we'll want to see how the protocol acts and how liquidation fares during that time. But this was a huge milestone. So I'll stop there. But yeah, really excited from my side to see that.
Of course, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, Dean, what I was going to ask, do you guys have like an average of what the liquidation rate, like the collateral rate has been in general? Like the average?
The average of the collateral price or meaning for liquidations?
Like liquidations, like just your overall user base, like what seems to be around the average?
Yeah, so what we have is for those first liquidations, we have how much collateral got sold and how much IST got raised. And so from that, you can see sort of what the average price received was. And I think it was somewhere in the range of $7.80. And Atom had been trading, I think those liquidations occurred when Atom was trading roughly at like 850, something along those lines. One thing, and we'll get into sort of new features coming down the road, but yeah, that's sort of how we're currently looking at where where that collateral got picked up.
The minimum collateralization ratio starts at fairly high. That's why it took a while for there to be liquidations. Of course, you know, the next time there's a downturn of 20%, we'd like that to be after, you know, Atom has gone up by 50%, you know, in which case people will make more vaults. So this is not a, you know, so we'll have opportunity here. It's worth noting the reason why we're so happy about seeing the liquidations. The key thing that creates that ensures solvency of a vault style mechanism is not the stability of the underlying collateral, the stability of Atom, but rather the ability to liquidate it, right? As long as it can be liquidated smoothly, then the outstanding IST, the debt of the outstanding IST, will be covered by those liquidations. And so the smoother that is, the better that goes, the lower the collateralization ratio is required to make sure that the system is solvent, right? If it could instantly sell any amount of Atom as needed, you could run a collateralization ratio that is very close to 1-to-1. Obviously, no market is like that, and so the collateralization ratio is much higher. But the better that is, the more capital efficient the mechanism can be. So that's part of why that's so exciting and why it's good to see these liquidations happen.
Yeah, and so that's a really good point. And to add on to that, that's the primary distinction between this kind of model and the Luna kind of model is the ability of the protocol to shrink supply as price declines, and that's really what the liquidation is accomplishing.
So did you guys change any like the collateral rates? Like I know when we spoke last month, you guys were tinkering around, and have you guys reduced it? Like how's that working out?
I can take that one. So this is Youssef from the economic committee. So to answer your question, Cosmos, yes, we've made some changes. So we had a few discussions with the Gauntlet, which advised us on changing the governance parameters for Atom and also for future assets to be added and whitelisted to vaults. So they provided their own analysis and recommendation. The Econ committee undertook the same exercise. And then based on their insight and our own assessment, we basically took the following two decisions. So the first one on the minimum collateral ratio, we've reduced it from 250 to 210, 250% to 210%. So the reason behind this change is basically to stimulate and create more demand for the Intra protocol. For users, it's more flexibility, but for us, it still ensures that we have like robust safety net against strong market fluctuations. The second thing that we've done is on the liquidation ratio itself, which we've brought down from 230% to 200%. So it is still conservative, but a bit less than previously. It ensures that our protocol remains resilient, even during significant market downturns. Price action on Atom has been quite bearish. I've been in Cosmos since 2020, and I don't remember having seen so much bearishness around Atom. Hopefully we can turn around that narrative pretty soon with the tokenomics revamp that is underway. That's why we're trying to be conservative, but not hinder the potential for growth too much. So we do want the protocol to handle more liquidation. That's a certainty. But we're just trying to do so in a measured step-by-step manner. So like in essence, these adjustments are mostly about striking the right balance.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. Like how many people were kind of working on that?
So we, the Econ committee, were six members, and then Gauntlet brought with them a team of three people. So that would be nine in total working on those changes.
Right. So what's else on the core dev roadmap?
Yeah, so I can jump in there. So I'm going to try to talk about this with a few analogies, and we'll see how that goes. From our side, the release at the end of June of Vault really included kind of the like meat and potatoes of the protocol, right? It is the Vault system, it's the reserve, it's the liquidation auctions, all that functioning together on governed by the Econ committee, like Yusuf was just talking about. And so, you know, when you ask about collateralization changes and things like that, there's no development that needs to happen for that. That's all just decisions by the people that are elected to make those decisions that they can operate in protocol now. We have some, you know, if that's sort of the meat and potatoes that got launched, we're kind of eating our green vegetables now and also finishing up some stuff that wasn't part of the original launch, which is more visibility into liquidations. So for each auction, let's get more detail about the fund flows themselves. We launched without that because it wasn't a blocker and it was sort of a nice to have. But as the protocol expands, that will be really important for analysts and to get a better sense of the, you know, the state of the bidding market and things like that. That work is underway. And additionally, there's some client-side work that was needed for multi-collateral support. So as people here are likely aware, the ST Atom has been discussed with Stride and various folks in the community. And so development happened to just make sure that we're ready for that. That's not really contract changes. It's mostly just front-end stuff and making sure that the dashboards will support it and things like that, and that the upgrade flows very well. So that's sort of getting us to the point where the protocol is really, in its current form, sustainable, right? New collateral can get voted in by the build stakers as designed. The Econ committee can operate as designed. And so there's a lot that the protocol itself can just handle only with that work done. As an example, the OmniFlix partnership that was announced the other day, no development work was needed for that. There's no work needed for new IST partnerships in external DeFi zones and all that. And so, you know, there's a lot of growth that is enabled just at the point that we're at. But from a development perspective, now we're sort of thinking about, you know, what's for dessert, right? Like, how do we enable some really cool new capabilities that both differentiate inter-protocol, that significantly expand minting capabilities, that significantly expand liquidation capabilities? And so what I would say is I've got a draft of my thoughts on that that's going to get posted to the forum in the next day or so. And I really want to also elicit community input. So, you know, where are the cross-chain enablements that people are interested in working on, or partnerships that, you know, Agor Gopko hasn't thought of? And so we can have an organized roadmap that's aligned with what the community really wants. But then there's also opportunistic partnerships that may come in with as Agoric Opco works to launch or help third parties launch on the chain. Integrations between those kinds of protocols and inter-protocol more closely, I think we'll be taking strong looks at that. You know, personally, any sort of cross-chain DeFi integrations are very interesting on our side, and I know the Econ committee has also weighed in with some ideas there. We're really for the first time at a point where there's a lot of open space where inter-protocol could grow into, and we've got some great ideas for that, but I know that the community likely does too. And so that post will be coming, and we can discuss on forums, but really excited for, you know, the next year or so, and also to move inter-protocol development, expand it beyond just Agor Gopko. So that'll start by, you know, we already have some partners that we have worked with on the development side that are going to take up some work moving forward, but really want to turn this into a community driven project from the development side as well, which we've talked about for a long time and are excited to be at that point.
Yeah, I love to hear that, because I think one of the issues that I see in Cosmos, maybe not necessarily crypto as a whole, but it could be crypto as a whole, is there needs to be more cross-chain collaborations. I don't know who posted it, but it was a good analogy. It was saying that Cosmos is almost like has unlimited roads, but there's no cars on the road. And like, how do we get the cars on the roads? And it was kind of like it resonated with me, because I've said things like that in a different manner, but yeah, there's like so many like awesome like applications out there, but there's not enough, you know, cross chain and cross collaborations between communities and teams in Cosmos. So, you know, obviously what you're building out can add value to essentially all, you know, with all the different ecosystems, especially DeFi related, and like you're doing OmniFlix, and you know, OmniFlix offers more than just the typical just DeFi. So it's nice. That was a nice little collab that I seen there. And it's just nice. It's kind of refreshing. It gives me more confidence whenever teams are not always just necessarily trying to reinvent the wheel. It's like, there's already these tools out there, these roads, call it, or whatever. Like, let's tap into those roads. Like, why build another roadway or whatever when it's already there? So kind of like thinking about it like that.
Go ahead, Dean.
I would say my analogy for IST, right, is, you know, economies thrive on having a currency. You know, that's the grease for the gears of commerce, the grease for the gears of the economy. And so, you know, the highway with roads might be a good analogy as well. It's you need this, you know, it just makes it so much easier to trade, you know, and so much easier to have, you know, interchain business that they can talk in a common, you know, with a common currency to pay for local services or what have you. I would say one of the other main ingredients, you know, and important ingredients for making this stuff happen, obviously the Econ Committee is just doing, it's just so awesome to see them, you know, see what comes out of there. But in terms of partnering for other partners out there, other chains out there like Omniflix that just, you know, has deployed IST, Hannah Washington on our side is eager to help and talk and make that happen. So she's the person that has been behind the scenes orchestrating a lot of the understanding and linking across the chains, where then the technical folks come along and hook up the relayers and wiring, and the EC come along keep an eye on all the economics. So if you're a chain out there that wants to tie into this growing economy, you know, by all means, talk to her.
Yeah, and it's worth adding there as well. You know, Haas, you kind of mentioned there's a lot of teams that seem like they're kind of working in silos. I guess what I would say is, at least from our perspective or my perspective, that we've seen a lot of collaboration, and some of that has started with, you know, Hannah and folks on our side going out and getting IST use cases enabled on other chains where they're simply accepting IST. But a lot of that also turns into conversations about, all right, what would be a more interesting, deeply integrated project that ties into the minting mechanism or liquidation mechanism or something that's sort of more sort of tightly linked with the interprotocol itself. We have found most Cosmos teams to be very interested in that. And so, you know, from my perspective, there's a lot of runway there.
Yeah, I mean, that's good to hear. I mean, when I found Cosmos, that's what it was. It was very communitarian. It was kind of more, you know, I'd never met anyone. It was like only buying Adam, you know, it was just like the IBC gang. And then I don't know, for me, it kind of seemed, and maybe it's just like the bearish sentiment. Everyone's kind of got their heads down building things, but sometimes something comes out. I'm just like, that's kind of like the same thing. It's already over here. That's kind of the same thing over there. It's like, you know, I feel like if the teams would work more, and I'm glad to hear that they're working more together, because they can kind of maybe expedite some things and then work on other things. And like you said, you can kind of use different mechanisms to kind of build something different. So I'm an app chain thesis individual, obviously. That's why I devote most of my time and effort to Cosmos. But I have never met anyone even outside of Cosmos that's building or developing or whatnot that has anything bad to say about Cosmos as the ecosystem or like the tech. But, you know, they'll say more things on a business acumen and things of that nature, which, I mean, sometimes I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I can see your point. But we have all the tools here. So I just want to see, you know, you guys, obviously, like, I always respected your team instantly because you guys have experience other than just building things. You're like, know how to run a business. And sometimes it gets lost in this space, you know, like that, the business, like not everything needs to be reinvented from Web 2. It's like some of those things work. So, some marketing works, some traditional like handshaking and business acumen works. So you don't have to reinvent everything. But having said that, I mean, going to like conferences are always good. I know last month I didn't get to go to the ones in Paris. And were any of you guys on the boxing ring at the OsmoCon fighting or anything? Did you guys see that?
No, I So what there's a guy from one of the projects that's launching on Agoric shortly who boxed. I won't out him here. I'm hoping to box next year.
I have an important correction, by the way. I said Hannah Washington because I had been seeing the Hamilton show. It's Hannah Hamilton. too many historical references floating around in my head. Anyway, so you were talking about all the connections. You know, we all just came from Paris, or just, you know, the conferences in Paris, OsmoCon and Nebular, were just great gatherings of Cosmos folk, and that's one of the places where, you know, we really are at this cusp of applications launching and now launched on Cosmos that are better than the, you know, comparable things out there. You know, Calc Finance, well, we'll see, you know, people are looking forward to Duality, Lavana. I mean, there's Lava Network that's got novel approach to incentivizing API services, all those kinds of things. And, you know, Akash rolling out their GPU, rent a GPU for AI training. And these are, you know, in the process looking at, you know, getting stable coins so they can integrate into a larger ecosystem. And so just seeing all of that happening, seeing these things that are to the point of use cases that people will care about that, oh, by the way, also bring a bunch of value to Cosmos, integrate with IST. Some of them, you know, my talk was all about being able to wire these up remotely by programming in JavaScript on the Agoric platform. And so I think that there really is an economy coming together here that is, you know, that IST is a pretty is the grease to make those gears start turning. But it's, you know, a big value of having all these pieces connected with IBC so we can actually start to do that. Yeah, so Paris was awesome.
And then, I know, I don't remember how long ago, I never know the time frames anymore, but I know we had that conversation not too long ago about MetaMask snaps coming to Cosmos, which is a huge part in, you know, less friction, the better, because some people just have their favorite wallets and they honestly, like, they just go, you know, I'm not going to go try something out because they just don't want to. But having their favorite wallet, you know, MetaMask has the most users, obviously, having them be able to just kind of connect into Cosmos more easily and readily is going to be a positive. It's, in my opinion, it's always going to be a net positive. It's like, even if you got like 100 users, which I would feel like we're going to get more than that, but it's still a net positive. So I'm excited for that too. So there's less friction on that, you know, standpoint too. But so like, Cosmos versus this right around the corner. You guys, I'm assuming you guys are going, right?
Oh yeah. And Bob, do you have?
We'll be there from an interprotocol point of view. We'll certainly be there, shoulder to shoulder with Agoric. We will have actually a pretty handy little giveaway for anybody that comes and visits us. Of course, there'll be some loops that you'll have to jump through in order to get it, but it's certainly worth coming to visit us for. And again, the objective for us being there, very much like at Paris, would be to, you know, seek out with our partner team, potential partners, people that we can interact with to continue on our vision to, you know, make IST one of the most ubiquitous stable tokens on the interchain. And the value that we got from just being in the room with people, especially at Paris, the whole partnership basically came together in terms of the marketing endeavors for OmniFlex within those 2 days. So we're looking forward to accomplishing something similar to that with maybe another partner at Cosmoverse. So can't wait to get there.
Yeah, I'll be at Cosmoverse as well. The three teams that were awarded the grants to revamp the Atom tokenomics, so Blockworks Research, Binary Builders, and RMIT will be there and will be presenting their findings and research on the Atom tokenomics. So it's going to be a big moment. And also, the Atom Accelerator is the main sponsor. So I'll be there with two hats representing IST and Atom Accelerator. So very pleased to be there and super happy to meet with anyone here from the audience.
I'll be going. I can't wait. I didn't get to go to last year's or the year before, so this will be my first Cosmoverse. It's like the Super Bowl for cosmonauts, you know what I mean?
Oh, Cosmoverse has been awesome. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Turkey. As you said, Agoric will be there. You know, Bob mentioned that they will have some hoops to jump through. So far, all the hoops they've made me jump through have been entertaining or educational. So I look forward to seeing what hoops you bring, Bob.
Well, seeing the talents today, it might require some musical instruments. So.
Oh, no. Be careful what I wish for then, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, we're obviously very much supporting IST there, but also, you know, talking to Web2 JavaScript developers and projects that will, you know, be able to build and deploy and sit alongside IST and really leverage that. Or as Roland said, there are projects that are starting to add mechanics to, propose additional mechanics for IST for the community to consider in the future. So that'll be exciting as well.
So it's a random question. I was just thinking about IST. Is it ever going to be available on like a centralized exchange, you think?
Well, the right thing to do is for everyone to ask their centralized exchange when they're listing IST.
Exactly. I like that thought process. It's free to
list. Community determination.
Yeah, I like that. That's kind of the role that I liked. Initially, Osmosis had that mantra and so did Juno. And they end up listening. You know, the smaller ones did. And it was just like one by one, and more started adding it. So that was, I like that, instead of just, you know, oh, we're going to pay you guys whatever fees and all that to get it listed and all that nonsense. But no, it's, that's awesome. So I know, was it last week there was talks about like Staked Atom and then Dot from Composable was becoming part of the vault too, the collateral vault?
Yeah, that's right. And so we've been paying close attention to Staked Atom since that conversation had started first and has been a little bit long running. The Stride team posted a really well thought out proposal on the forums to add Staked Atom. And I know I won't speak for the econ committee, but I know, you know, from Yusuf's side, they've done a bunch of work to think about how that might get how the risk parameters might get set there. I can speak a little bit to sort of the steps needed to add a new collateral. And it's worth noting doing it the first time is going to take a little longer just because the community's never done it before and some of the upgrade tests need to happen and changes to the client side, which I mentioned before. But really it's around, and I'll let Yusuf talk to some of the process, but as a reminder, it's build stakers that vote in new collateral types, and the econ committee sets the risk parameters. And so hopefully that's a collaborative process where collateral types that aren't desired or sort of would be too risky don't get voted in because there's discussion ahead of time. With Staked Atom, it feels like that has progressed very well. And so there's sort of econ committee has thought about risk parameters, the community has discussed it. And so we expect that will likely get voted in at some point.
I can add something here, Roland. So like the SC Atom onboarding is officially underway. There have been some many discussions actually within the EC and the econ committee, I mean, and we had Riley and Aiden and the entire Stride team come 2 weeks ago on our call. We did a full session to get more acquainted with SC Atom because it does have different properties than Atom. It is the first time that we're considering a derivative. So we want to make sure that, you know, we get the proper understanding of the risk profile of the asset. And so it was really good having Stride team answer to all our questions. So like we feel now that we're in a much better position to make recommendation around that. Gauntlet also is working on that. So we're collaborating with Gauntlet and also with Stride. So, you know, we're having like multiple angles to analyze, which is really nice. And, you know, like we also think that SC Atom is just much more capital efficient than Atom itself. And this is by design. So SC Atom is already listed like as collateral in other Cosmos stablecoins like USK and CMSC. So like, we anticipate that there's going to be a strong demand. And yeah, now like it's just about waiting for OPCO to finish their analysis and requirements, and for us to get aligned with Gauntlet on the proper governance parameters. But it's pretty much underway, and I'm personally super excited about it.
Yeah, and to add there, I think Yusuf's underselling his own work and the EC's work, because they also met with Simply Staking around Oracle needs, right? And in particular with ST Atom, there's really only one liquid market, which is Osmosis, and but then you have the option to say, okay, well, you could use the Atom price and a multiplier based on the actual ST Atom underlying details. And so they met both with Stride and with Simply Staking to discuss how that might happen from an Oracle perspective. And so the pieces that really do need to come together, just to kind of pull this together for everybody, it's there needs to be an Oracle network supplied price, and Simply Staking runs the decentralized Chainlink Oracle network for Agoric. There needs to be relayer set up. And so the community has gone ahead and created an open channel and connection to the Stride chain from the Agoric chain. For collateral types for inter-protocol, currently Agoric OPCO also elects to pay a relayer just to guarantee a certain amount of reliability and availability. Process will probably evolve over time, but that is getting discussed and worked on right now. And then, as I mentioned, just because this is the first one, there's some client-side work that Agoric OPCO is completing to make sure that we're ready technically for the addition of a new collateral type. The piece that is coming together and will become more systematized moving forward is, what is the actual testing and upgrade process? So really what we'd like to see is all this running in testnet with live Oracle prices before it gets voted into mainnet, just to make sure that liquidations are working correctly. You know, nobody set a denom wrong, nobody set decimals wrong, all of that important stuff. And so that process is coming together, and we expect sort of roughly another week on our side to do demos of that testing, and then getting the processes out to the community, so that this really can be a community-led thing. You know, there shouldn't, moving forward, there really shouldn't need to be new engineering on the contract side.
So for people out there, I guess, like, to make it more simplistic, you're kind of building like the playbook on future collaterals and like what you want to do, and kind of like a time parameter and like goal set, so you can essentially reach that benchmark. So like I guess an estimate is like, how long would that take for whenever you get the green, or like for testnet to say, okay, this is like good, everything's working out, like how long do you think that would be, if you're a ballpark figure?
Yeah, so there's sort of deployment to like a devnet or something that's permissionless, and would be a place where the community would evaluate things. And then there's the deployment process to that, where things move through a testnet that we call EmeryNet towards mainnet. And so that deployment process takes a couple weeks. The evaluation could be very fast as long as everything is done. As long as you could see Oracle like prices flowing in, you know, that could be a day or something like that, and you know, you can always halt the mainnet process if something's going wrong along that timeline. Because this is the first time we're doing it, I think we have some expectations around what this process looks like, but we're going to document it, see how this one goes, and then likely make some changes there, just so that, you know, we'll learn from our experience a little bit.
And then what I like too is the potential of DOT, and also like kind of we were just kind of touching on Cosmoverse. I've seen that there's going to be a lot of other sponsors like outside of Cosmos, which is pretty cool, because in my opinion, you know, like we were talking about the price of bearish, like Adam's bearish, and I don't really get too involved with prices and things like that, but I do feel like Cosmos has been a little stale lately, and it's just a bear market, probably just in general, which is kind of human nature for people to tune out of things right now. But I do feel like we need to reach out to other ecosystems to show just community people, just devs, teams, everyone, like how great our technology is. And like the tools and applications and just, you know, I remember when I used Osmosis for the first time, that's what got me involved in Cosmos. I was like, wow, that was smooth. It looked aesthetically, it was nice looking. I call it a customer experience. I'm like, that was a good customer experience. And like, that led me here. Like this conversation's happening because I enjoyed just using Osmosis compared to like, you know, not bad mouthing Uniswap or Ethereum or anything, but just that experience, like compare and contrast. And I'm like, yeah, this technology is pretty smooth. Let me do the deep dive and really check out like what's going on over here. And then, you know, I just put thousands of hours of research in, and I was just sold on how everything operates philosophically, just technologically. And I think it's nice to see other ecosystems outside of IBC somehow getting exposure to us. And I think that's great that Cosmoverse is reaching out. I think I seen like AVAX and Binance, and there was a few other ones. I don't remember the list, but you know, maybe getting DOT more involved in borrowing, lending, and using that as for collateral would be a kind of a cool thing as well.
Yeah, and from the perspective of the system, any asset that arrives on the Agoric chain over IBC looks the same to the vaults. So, you know, there's nothing technically hard or different about pulling DOT in, so long as it's arriving over a bridge and transferring over IBC, which is my expectation of what that looks like. So, you know, that really shouldn't be anything difficult on the technical side. It's really more about the business side, making sure there's a market to liquidate to and all that stuff. So yeah, excited to see that collaboration too.
And then I'm going to, I guess, pass it over to Rick. We really haven't heard from him too often today, but is there any, what's going on with the monthly updates on your side of things?
Hey, Cosmos. Thanks a bunch. This is Rico Flan from the DCF. And yeah, man, I've just been sitting here listening to all this. There's been a lot of good information. And there's been a lot, you know, it really shows that there's been a real uptick in activity and some real important landmarks hit with Inner Protocol. And it's awesome to see new partnerships and new use cases starting to roll out. It's starting to get fun. So that's all good news. I know we're running a little long here, so I'm going to keep this short and to the point. The one thing I wanted to share with the community is that it was just about a year ago that we started the election process for the Economic Committee, and that means it's time for us to look at the elections for the next term. There are six persons that sit on the Economic Committee. All the seats are always up for election. Given sort of the restrictions placed on us by Cosmos governance tooling, we can't just do, you know, put up a slate of people and let everybody vote and take the top six. That just doesn't work for us. So what we propose to do is to suggest a roster that the community can vote on. And DCF is going to put up a roster, and anyone else that wants to put up a roster can as well. From the DCF side of things, I'll let the cat out of the bag here a little bit right now and say that all six members of the present Economic Committee have put up their hands and said they're willing to serve for another term. The DCF strongly feels that for the sake of continuity and the fact that, you know, honestly, we've got the right people on there right now, that that we're comfortable endorsing that slate of six for another term. And so we will be putting together a proposal for that shortly and getting that out to the community for the discussion period and then for the vote. There are a couple of other related issues related to specifically financial and economic matters, primarily the budget. Where's the budget coming from? The long-term plan, of course, was for the community fund to support the Economic Committee. But to get things up and running across this first year, DCF went ahead and provided the support. We need to figure out what we're going to do with that going forward. And again, those are community decisions. We've got some opinions on that. We'll be posting in the discourse, the Agoric discourse, and we'll be sharing this, of course, in the Discord discussions for Inner Protocol as well. So keep your eyes and ears open. That will be coming out. We will also be posting process in case somebody else wants to propose an alternate roster of Economic Committee members. That's totally legit if anyone wants to go that route. And I think that, again, for the sake of timeliness, that's all I got for you today, Hoss. I'm going to hand it back to you. Happy to take any questions, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think you guys are doing a great job. And yeah, I mean, you got to kind of adapt with the time and the economic market. And I think you guys are doing a really good job on that side of things. So I personally don't really have any questions. I mean, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to seeing the ongoing discussions there with that part of it. I wanted to go ahead.
Just one thing. I'm sorry. I should have given one fact that's relevant to this discussion. The term for the next, or I should say the next term for economic committee members begins September 15. So we'll all be working backwards from that. Now over to you.
Okay. So I guess in closing, there are some good questions I'm reading here from the community. And actually it's kind of coincides with some of the questions that I was going to wrap up. So I think they're actually pretty good questions. Cause like a lot of the talk of town has been in Cosmos was the excitement for like the Kava USD since it's native. And I think some of the community members are asking if like that would be potentially another option for minting IST.
I can take this one. We were informed very early of USDT coming on, native USDT coming on Kava. So that's a discussion that we, as the Econ Committee, had a few times on this very topic. And, you know, I think we have a positive consensus around the need for native USDT as a PSM collateral. Obviously, it needs more thinking, but you know, I can only share my own position, which is that you know, we as a community should absolutely support native USDT and whitelist it as a PSM collateral, and this is for a few reasons. So the first one is that, you know, we want to reduce the bridge risk that we currently face with USDT Grav and USDT Axler, and so by whitelisting USDT native from Kava on the PSM, by doing that, we significantly de-risk the entire protocol. So that's pretty nice. And then the other thing is that native USDT is likely going to meet sizable demand as, you know, the indisputed leader in stablecoins. And so it's going to create more liquidity, and I see that we think should be positioned to capture some of that. So, but at the same time, you know, we do need to see first how the first few weeks go in terms of adoption, and we also need an official request from the community in order to trigger the official process.
Yeah, I like that. And no offense to Kava, like from just my experience and just using, I try to use everything in Cosmos, at least go test things out. It almost seems like Kava for the most part has been kind of, I don't want to say siloed off, but a little bit siloed off from just the general, you know, Cosmos. Like there are some chains in Cosmos where I feel like they or everyone could do a better job of kind of connecting one another to get together, whether that's through like the communities or just the applications. And I think that would be a good play, is having like their native USDT kind of be, like you say, one, it's more secure, but two, just kind of maybe that olive branch to reach out across the hour or whatnot. So I think that would be a good move. Just my general outlook on it. Not that it really matters, but another thing that was going on that kind of was exciting. I personally won't use it, but I'm all for having options and any way of getting new users into this space, whether that's Cosmos or just crypto as a whole, is like tools and avenues for regular people that aren't real nerdy like most of us are, to kind of maybe get exposure to crypto more easily and readily. So I was kind of excited for the PayPal. Was it PYUSD? I think that's what it's being called. So I don't know. I would like to know what your guys' thoughts of what that is, what that means to you, and like, do you see that coming into play in the Cosmos?
I can jump. Oh, go ahead. Dean. I think you've thought about it. All right. So from my side, I'm a little skeptical, and so I'm in a wait and see kind of mode on PayPal USD. I think it depends on, you know, where Circle in particular had a ton of success, was really deeply embedding themselves within DeFi and in crypto applications. And that, and you know, we've gone down that path too on the IST side, and it takes work and it takes understanding the market. And so, you know, from that perspective, I sort of wonder whether PayPal will end up doing that well, whether they'll bother. But on the other side of things, it may end up being a very large payments channel, you could imagine, right? And so seeing what kinds of integrations end up being valuable there would be interesting. You know, I think PayPal, as lots of people have noted, they have capabilities to lock and to clear out your account, which again, Circle basically does too. So it's surprising that that got so much attention. But you know, I think PayPal in general is also sort of known for potentially not being super friendly to some small businesses. And so I sort of wonder how that will play out. From the ISC side, if it's working well, we certainly would love to see PYUSD as collateral.
From my perspective, you know, so I'm certainly no fan of PayPal, but oh my God, do I consider this a huge thing, right? The extent to which it, you know, for a lot of people out there that are not into crypto, it validates that crypto is a solution space that fintech cares about, right? PayPal could never connect anything themselves, but making it easy for someone to swipe a credit card, bring cash online, and then buy something that's actually decentralized. Or use it, you know, worst case uses collateral or whatever, you know, that's just huge. And from the point of view of lots of companies out there, they can look at it and go, first off, well, if PayPal can do it, I can do it. And I'm sure not going to use PayPal for handling my, you know, my multi-billion dollar freight, you know, trade credits or my supply chain financing. But clearly it's now a thing. And I can use, you know, this Web3 tech, you know, is suddenly a real contender in the minds of literally billions of more people than it would have been, you know, the month before. And so I think it's a big win generally. Obviously, they may have lots of stumbles and they've got lots of learning to do and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, they've certainly done that kind of thing before. So from my perspective, it opens doors for Web3 companies to go have conversations with end user use cases and business use cases and retail use cases that otherwise would not have been opened. And those conversations don't need to include PayPal at all. It's merely the fact that it's now, you know, in the fintech air that really opens the opportunity for those conversations. So I think it's a big win.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, I think
so. The fact that it'll add liquidity when we start going out to mainnet or mainstream use cases and make it even easier. I mean, you know, Kato is going to get us a long way towards being able to onboard, retail users via credit card. But the more the merrier. And that just, you know, keeps that ball rolling.
Exactly. In my opinion, like you said earlier, it kind of validates crypto as a solution and a real player. It's not just like what people were saying, that's for hucksters and scamsters or whatever was going on. Like the talk of town and mainstream was for a little bit there, but you know, it's, and I think their user base is around like 450 million people. So that's a pretty big market. And again, like not that I'm going to use it, but again, if it can get more people into the space and maybe we help educate them and they come into a space and listen and then they learn about self-custody and DeFi and everything else, and it's a win, you know, and I'm all for it. So I think two thumbs up on it. And if people want to use it, use it. So
if I could just jump in from a marketing perspective, going back to the old traditional funnel, we've just got 200 million people down off of the top of the funnel. So it's a huge, huge, huge opportunity. It's great stuff.
Yep. And it's just up to us to kind of capture and get these people to not just use it and not look into crypto and explore a little bit. So we just got to keep grinding and working.
Yep. And I guess the one that'll be most interesting in some sense is on the regulatory side, right? It does certainly put a target on them for now, but they've got, you know, as you say, 200 to 400 million reasons to help sort that out. It certainly raises it to the level of, you know, of Congress needs to take this stuff seriously, a lot of pressure on making sure the banks can participate in, you know, and this isn't just a thing that some wonk in the SEC gets to make all the decisions about. So.
before so we wrap it up, I was going to say, before we wrap it up, I know John usually asks good questions, so I wanted to see, can you, go ahead, John, use some mic shorts.
In context of this PayPal discussion we just mentioned, it seems from my perspective that a driving force for their stablecoin is that they see the revenues from that Tether, Circle generate from holding U.S. treasuries. And so what are your thoughts on IST having sort of real world assets or treasuries, or, you know,
very pro.
That's right. Okay. And then
it might be pretty much.
And sorry, just to add on there. So, you know, we also see that with Maker, right? Maker holds significant real world assets, and that is now driving a huge earnings for them.
The other thing is, you know, so PayPal sees that, but they also see the optimization of their cross-border payments mechanism, which, of course, they end up handling a lot of. And so, you know, in some sense, it's that latter that is the compelling one on the fintech side from the point of view of yes, this is a technology to pay attention to. The fact that it also has these revenues is valuable and important, but it is from the opening the doors on the technical front, it is in some sense secondary. For IST, you know, so that's now a project that's independent, but it's designed to be extensible. And so extending it to the realm of real world assets in a variety of mechanisms is certainly something that I imagine the community doing over time. Part of the reason that we really wanted to have the kind of experts that are on the econ committee now as part of that is, you know, they understand that stuff as well, and, you know, and can help, you know, can help from a, you know, economic guidance as to make sure that all of that is, you know, happens in a risk appropriate way and that sort of thing. So I definitely am excited to see that in the future, but like, you know, I've said before, you know, you need all the kinds of collateral and all the kinds of minting mechanisms that lead to a solvent system where IST outsources dollars in a bank account to USDC and you know, PayPal is a white label of Paxos, right? You know, those different systems and USDT, right? Outsourcing real world assets to systems and mechanics out there that have some credible wiring, or outsourcing handling of Bitcoin to folks that have been driving wrapped Bitcoin, right? All of those are plausible ways to integrate these other assets with a mechanism that provides the maximum liquidity to the community. You know, it will be great to increase the revenue of IST, but the number one goal is increase the size of the economy, you know, make for a much, much larger crypto economy that we're all playing in. I think that's sort of the biggest win. And part of the way that happens is more kinds of collateral, of which most of the collateral in the world is off chain. Most of the collateral in the world is real world assets. So that's gotta be a big part of the future.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Just real assets that's what we need to bring into this space. That's where the real money is, the real values, you know. People that are wealthy, they don't just have a bunch of money in their bank account, they own assets. So like, we gotta get it into this space. So it totally makes sense.
And, you know, I want to start with and continue to support all the new digital assets that we all are making. Obviously, that's number one. The real world assets is number two.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you already answered so you think that's like one of the number one things to get wide stream of adoption. I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. Wide stream of adoption IST is the RWAs.
I just asked that question again. I couldn't quite.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So like, do you think RWAs are like the one of the driving forces for you to get mainstream adoption to IST?
No, I don't think so. I think that's valuable, you know, going forward, and it will allow substantial growth, but there's plenty of room. I mean, we've got $10 billion of assets in the interchain now, and that's at the bottom of a bear market. So there's plenty of assets that people are making that can drive the economic foundation for IST. IST adoption, you know, will be about organic use cases like Omnifix, like Akash, like as it gets adopted into things like Lavana, you know, that's dynamic organic demand to participate in the economy we're growing, and then it'll just grow with that economy, and it'll grow with bridging out to DOT and to ETH and so forth.
And Dean's forgetting as a gas and fee token on the Agoric chain. It's also important to separate, there's minting demand and the minting market, which is really where real world assets come in, versus the IST use market, which is what Dean is talking about. And I agree as well. Like the demand of IST use cases is really that's what's going to drive real adoption on the IST side.
And then I wanted to, before I forget to mention, thank you everyone that tuned in. Thank you for all the guests, the speakers. And we will be doing this next month, same time. It'll be the third Thursday of September it'd be 12:30 Eastern, which is, what is that? That's 16:30 UTC, if I can correct myself. And yeah, so just so everyone tunes in, it's listening to the recording, it'll be same time, same place next month. So I just wanted to say that before we finish up and I forget to say that. So do you guys have any last closing thoughts or statements or anything you forgot to mention that you'd like to mention?
Hoss, just thanks so much. Always a pleasure to have you host these. Fantastic leading the way. Everybody, I'm sure, in the audience and on the panel appreciates it. So thanks very much from myself and folks here.
My pleasure. Anytime. I mean, I legitimately got lucky. I was traveling all day yesterday. We got up early and I arrived to my my wife's family's house probably, honestly, 10 minutes before this started. So it all worked out perfectly. I didn't want to be in the car and it was raining real loud. I was like, man, this is going to be bad. I was like, I got to get there. So we arrived and it was all good. So it's good stuff. Well,
we appreciate you making the effort. And, again, from the marketing perspective and from, perspective in general, we have really good momentum going since Vault. And we just look forward to riding this momentum going into the fall. It's unbelievable that we're going to be at the fourth quarter of the year soon enough. But through Cosmoverse and beyond, some great things happening. So we're excited. Stay tuned, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
I'm looking forward to some IST Istanbul gear.
Me too.
All right,
some guys. Special stuff. Stop by. Yeah,
you guys had great stuff in Denver, so I'm looking forward to what I can get next on. So appreciate it, guys. Take care, everyone. Cheers.
All right. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments, red down pay. Got them acting all faithless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Click the cap. Yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, where model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We raving under the earth, sitting wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.